all those other areas. There isn't a dime elsewhere, Commissioner, to be had to share in this cost-cutting exercise rather than just the ones identified here. Is there?
Yes, we.
How close have we scrutinized all of the division's agencies under Commerce?
Yes, we have. Yeah, and we felt this. These were the, you know, in relation to our total strategy and the strategic plan. But we understand this is just the beginning of an exercise, you know, with respect to what may ultimately be required. This was our, we were asked to bring forward our best thinking at this stage, and this was our best shot at it. How fast we could move on some of the areas where I've been pushing, you know, consolidation of the licensing area or the regulatory side. We have had to be responsive to weights and measurements because we're losing a great deal of income there. The income generated by insurance is currently about 24 to 25 million. We think if we invest the additional amount that we've called for, which are, you know, additional personnel, that we will recoup at least 5 million for the one we spend, and we have the possibility of upward of 20. So we've tried to look at those areas. I've looked at the commissioner's office. You mentioned that, you know, in passing earlier. And, you know, I've eliminated the deputy position. I've tried to reduce the functions as substantially as I've been able, while at the same time I've tried to keep a sense of comprehensive responsibility for the whole. I am more concerned, in my view, but then that's I'm now talking about other departments, but I've already referenced the fact that I think we have a lot of gains that can be made horizontally. I think if we had one or two more people in the areas of marketing of these natural resources that we've been guarding so carefully, we would begin to move some of these to market. One of the major changes that I'm introducing in the International Trade Office, Mr. Larson, to your earlier question, is these offices overseas have been primarily staffing junkets. Forgive me, I'm being as candid as I can. And that's an important function, but I'm not sure that that's the sustaining function of the state. I've said to all of these people, and we're trying now to pick people to staff them, this is the sales force for Alaska. They're out there to close deals, to make connections of economic possibility, of partnerships, and of income. And my only visit just this year overseas, if you have a mentality, I used to sell Fuller brushes to get through college, and, you know, a major thing was to get in the living room, but you sure better have a kit, you know. And I said, the governor on the way back, you know, I feel like I got in the living room, and they said, you know, what do you got in your kit? And I said, well, I'll tell you, you know, I got a lot of gas, but they said, well, could we see some? Well, no, you know, if I could get a letter of intent for you for 10 years from now to make sure that we'd be in a position to buy it, I can bring a brush back. For heaven's sake, mm-hmm. Or for Alaska's sake. You know, I have told our people, I want a kit. I want to have something that we're marketing out there in Japan, in Korea, not just, you know, the vague principle or the happy glow that we've got. We need to come to closure, and we need to move in the direction of closure, and we're trying to strengthen now. We closed February 29th. We closed our office in Taiwan because I just didn't believe that the amount of money that we were investing in that was generating in any comparability, the product of this kind of trade.
Representative Brown, then Finkelstein, then Larson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Coming back to the budget, today we discussed that you have asked the governor to submit to us on your behalf an amendment for $4 million to increase ASME's budget by $4 million in order to take advantage of $3.5 million in federal receipts for the seafood export program. And this, we got this in the current year, but it was not known at the time of the budget. So we need another $530,000 in general funds to match those federal dollars, and this will almost double the size of ASME. My question, sir, is if this were the limit of this budget, where would you squeeze this in? What would you displace to accommodate it? Or do you feel that this is enough of a priority that it should be included?
I tried to argue, but I don't know, obviously not successfully. I tried to argue that investment, we have invested about $2 billion in fisheries in Alaska, hatcheries, habitat improvement, and so forth and so on. We have not made any significant investment by comparison in marketing. And our critical problem is in product diversification and marketing. I have tried to argue that if we are successful in having a significant capital budget, my personal view is that the augmentation of what I'm going to call it, the insurance of our $2 million investment in fisheries ought to be to provide this modest leverage to get 9-to-1 federal funds for enhancing the marketing effort of our fisheries. We are holding in my department alone, you know, over $200 million worth of loans on boats for fishermen in Alaska. And if the fish price remains what it is, or if we don't find new markets for them, we're going to be looking at an enormous problem financially with respect to the investment that we've currently made. We will take another look. I didn't know what you've now told me, you know, that this had come across, I'm say across the street, but, you know, I'm not succeeding in getting the governor moved over there.
Well,
my point is, wherever it came, I have not looked at where we would find that $500,000 within our current arena. I must say that I think, you know, fisheries and tourism and so on constitute major, you know, in state investment in jobs and economy and so on. And I think it's a high priority. I was hoping that it could be incorporated as a capital investment.
I just would like to make the committee aware that I think this increment proposed for the Division of Insurance may be the most significant revenue measure likely to pass the legislature this year, and I strongly recommend that we include it. As he says, it's $5 to $20 million that could be collected in unpaid insurance taxes, and this is certainly an area that we need to include in the budget.
May I just thank Representative Brown for that reinforcement. I believe, as you may know from what I've said, we have a strong possibility under Dave Walsh's leadership of attracting major insurance houses that want to do business in the United States to Alaska as their brokering center out of Hong Kong and even from Eastern Europe. And we're talking about big dollars, and that's a direct revenue. It's a very important and direct revenue enhancing program.
Representative Finkelstein. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think part of what Representative Brown's point is that on the ASME, and I agree that we've got to get that ASME funding, you know, the $500,000, I mean, it just leverages too much money. But I think your point is we're going to have to find other places in the department to make those cuts. We've got to fit it in. You know, I'd certainly look myself at some of the increases in AEA and economic development, places where we've gone over last year's budget, but that's a challenge you have to face. The other place I think you might have to look at it is in regard to the APUC changes. I really think it's a great idea. I'm happy to work with you and APUC to try to develop that proposal, you know, work, you know, anything you want on that. But if we don't get that, we've still got the problem of $3.5 million, and, you know, some backup plan is going to be necessary there as well. The last point I wanted to make is on PCE, we've got two problems with PCE. One of them is we've got to, you know, solve the budget shortfall for this year, and obviously we discussed that before. The other problem is how do we reduce the growth of PCE in the long run, because that's always going to occur, and one of the major factors there is increased power usage that goes on. And I know we aren't going to solve it this year. It's going to take a change in statutes, but I'm real interested in, like, to work on it in future years, and I think you know, your leadership in that can make a big difference. We need a conservation alternative so that instead of giving out the subsidy on a per kilowatt hour, we take that same subsidy and we give it up front. The later kilowatt hours, you know, cost the full price. We've got a system now under the existing system where the more energy you use, the more subsidy you get. You know, there's no incentive for conservation whatsoever, and just a small, you know, switch to this new system would lead to great incentives for conservation investments. So any help you can give on that for a long run would be...
Well, I couldn't agree more with what you've said. Part of the plan that we've talked about is to try to move in that direction. One of the investments of science and technology was we have a small hydro turbine that's been developed for the flow of water in small streams at the bottom that don't freeze over at the top, even up here at Haines. And this is a 1 kilowatt capability of generating. It will produce water at a very low cost for villages and so on. That's just one. The unit that we're using, the Israeli unit for the experimentation in geothermal out of Dutch Harbor, we have geothermal all over the Rim of Fire and all over Alaska. Some of those units are very small, and they have the capability of radically reducing that cost. It's the fuel cost out there in these expensive installations that serve, you know, too small a critical mass and at too high a cost, that's killing us, and it's keeping that cost, that power cost equalization requirement up. We're trying to address that in the long run, and in the short run, find some of these alternatives. But I've been saying this not only with respect to energy. This is what I mean by paying the person to be able to rob you. We are building in incentives that are counterproductive with respect to the objective we want to serve. I mentioned that with our student loan fund. We're doing this on a lot of other things. It's not just that it's not productive. You understand? It's counterproductive. It's not just that it doesn't encourage, as in this case, it doesn't encourage conservation and economy. It rewards extravagance. I agree, and you know, I'm doing what little I can on that front as well.
Thank you, Representative Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm getting like Cinderella, and the coach is ready to turn into a pumpkin. But before we leave, I'm going to get us back down to earth here for 1 minute. We oftentimes talk in regards to the capital budget that what's one person's bread and butter is another person's pork. I want to know what your deadwood is in the operating budget. Could you be specific, please?
It's pruning time.
Or if that's an unfair question, we can talk
about it. It's not unfair. I preface my comments by the fact that, you know, I'm in a fairly difficult position to answer that kind of a question. I'm a philosopher, not a scientist, which means I have a regard for the whole and not the part. And the whole is more than the sum of the parts. Number two, in the last 36 years until this year,
Well, you only get 2 minutes to answer, though.
No, I understand. I was the head of the organization.
Okay.
And I was in a position to try to make some determinative judgments about the contour of the whole tree. I can tell you, in our area alone, and that's, you know, over which I have responsibility, we have tried to identify the key elements of the living tree, and we are trying to prune everything that is appropriate to that. My personal view is that we have scattered in virtually every department of this state economic development, and we're paying a high price for the lack of the integration and focus of those scattered elements across departments. I believe that the marketing function, the selling function, is a critical ingredient of conservation and of care and tending of our natural resources and everything else. My personal view is that the lariat approach to our budget development is the wrong strategy. Throw a big loop around a big problem and just start cinching. In the end, all you get is a squeeze play and no mobility and flexibility. My personal view is that we have to take a hard look at the radical reconstruction of government and of governance. And I'm trying in a modest way. I happen to think planning is a feature You know, when I came and asked, you know, where's the strategic plan for the department? And people looked at me as though, you know, I was asking for the Northwest Passage. I don't know how you can plan to determine where you want to go unless you have a strategic plan. Now, where would I in our department, what's left? I would substantially and further reduce on the licensing, operational licensing side, those that seem to be not to be essential to the proper function of government, and to integrate, as Representative Barnes has said, others of these. These are modest savings. We have a modest budget. Our budget, even if you take the gross budget, is only 2.2% of the total budget. I'm now going to sound, you asked me, where would I prune, and I'm talking about enhancing. I think we need to focus on and enhance economic development. And that's just not my responsibility in my department. That is a concern generically of government itself. And I think we ought to look at where we're expending money that's not productive in revenue generating and otherwise, and see if we can put some of those resources at the service of our primary objective. But I don't want you to think, I have tried to make these small speeches at the cabinet level, and you know, I'm not exactly singing from a large choir. But I'm trying in the ways that I can to address these specifically.
No, we'll have to discuss it more.
I'd be happy to.
No question that you're a philosopher.
Well, Mr. Chairman, well, there are times you really do have to take a look at the whole picture.
Absolutely.
And we get so caught up in our little details that we forget the big picture.
I didn't and offer
I
that.
I personally appreciate the big picture.
I'm sorry, I didn't offer that as an apology, but, but as a description.
Representative Brown.
I just want to say that on occupational licensing, I personally don't see how that helps the situation, because those boards pay for themselves, they're serving a consumer protection or public safety function, and it's a program receipt activity. So, you know, we could cut all of those things and we would have made no contribution to the bottom line we're trying to achieve, which is the general funds are not enough to go around.
Representative Brown, I quite understand, but I'm suggesting that we have also prevalent the notion, if you're talking about what I call a lariat approach, you're talking about generic terms, a percentage of a generic term. I have asked from the very beginning to have us look quite separately and distinctively at different components of the budget. We do it here, and we try to tonight, with respect to fund generation and others. But I've tried to suggest there are ways. You have to spend money to make money. You have to invest in some of these things. And if you're in a retrenchment mode, it's hard to get attention to what you need to do to invest in that generating. We've tried to suggest that with insurance and some of the others. And I think I've tried to suggest tonight a variety of ways in which I think we could invest if we were disposed to do that.
Commissioner, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.